of the sea.
I think faith sets us free, doesn't it? It allows us to weigh anchor and to go. We've been talking about doing something new in 21 too. I believe that there's a new anointing in prayer, and we've been enjoying that and rejuvenating that aspect of prayer. Wednesday nights have been awesome as we've been praying, as we're led by the Spirit, and a great thing. I encourage you, come to Wednesday nights. Again, this Wednesday we're praying for Haiti, and we're going to be praying for salvations. People that you want to be saved, we're going to put them on the board. We're going to begin to pray that God will start moving on people's lives in a very, very powerful way. So we've been talking about this thing of prayer. We talked about how we need to pray in Jesus' name, and that means to pray in His power and for His purposes. And then last week we talked about why keep praying. We said, well, God has deposited His power in us, right? We pray because God's put His power in us. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We talked about how often we let how get in the way of what God wants to do. We also said if you never put yourself in this is crazy situations, you'll never experience this is awesome moments. And that God's unlimited power is limited in my life by my prayers. Secondly, we said we must release the power of God deposited in us by prayer. And we said that we need to move. Prayer moves it from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm. And thirdly, we said that God adds His fire or His power to our prayers. We talked about the tipping point of those bowls that we're praying in the heavenlies, and they fill up those bowls. And then at some point, the angel adds the fire of God and they tip over and they pour out. And I believe the answers that the Lord wants to have come in our lives come back in a very, very powerful way. By the way, if you're wanting to get any of the messages we have here at Living Faith Fellowship, you can simply go to livingfaithfellowship.com. You can pick up on any message that we have. What did I say? You were laughing at me.
I was.
What did I say?
You did great.
I did great? All right. Oh.
Whatever you were sending us, it was great.
Oh, okay. Just good. Good. I want to start. That reminds me of thinking of that. Let me tell this story. Last week, it was my birthday, and thank you for all of your well wishes and your happy birthdays and greetings and all of that. I really appreciated it. People ask me, how did your birthday go? Well, and I say, well, here's how it started. I got up. It was my day off. I got up, and we live in a triplex, and we converted the very bottom part of it to an apartment. It's where Creighton and Heidi live. And in order to do that, to convert it, I had to put in a sump pump. Because it's down so low, I couldn't just gravity feed it to the sewer. So I had to pump it up about 10 feet, and then maybe horizontally about 20, 30 feet, and then into a drain pipe. And so Heidi was telling me, hey, we're hearing this noise downstairs. I had an alarm. There's an alarm going off because it was a high water alarm. That means the sump pump. And the sump pump's about that big, maybe about that deep, and it's in the ground. It's kind of in a storage area. We store a bunch of other stuff. It happens to be in that spot. It's down on the ground. And so I was realizing, I think one of the floats must be out because the float that turns the pump on, it goes zzz, and it pumps it out. It must have some stuff on it. And so therefore, I'm going to have to open up the cover and find out what's wrong and fix it. So Creighton went with me, and it was great. It was great having him there. And what we had to do is we had to, where it comes out, again, it has a cover on the sump pump, and it comes out, there's a pipe that comes out that takes it out, and the pump is in the submersible pump. And so what I had to do is I had to cut the pipe here and here and pull out the pipe so I could take the lid off. Does it make sense? I had to take the lid off. Okay. And while I was doing that, I cut the two pieces of the pipe off, pulled them out. I'm down on all fours like this, right over the thing, and I'm jiggling like that. All of a sudden, the pump goes off. And it shoots raw sewage. It missed my head and hit Creighton in the face. It went in his nose. In his mouth. And as it's going off, it's going like that. And remember, we have storage stuff down here. And it's shooting, literally, it shoots about this high. I mean, it shoots all the way around. So it's shooting stuff. And as it does that, I put my hands over it. And it's spraying me in the face as I'm trying to hold it down so it doesn't go anywhere. And it's spraying all over and in my face. And I'm getting just dressed. I'm going, turn it off! Turn it off! Unplug the pump! Unplug the pump! And what took like 2 days, Creighton finally unplugged it. Sure, it was about 2 seconds, but it seemed like 2 days. And all of this which was down there was now in here. Creighton and I were completely drenched in raw sewage. It was horrific. I got up and I had toilet paper and stuff everywhere. And we just walk out of there. I'm going to go upstairs. And I went upstairs. I took my pants off, took my shirt off. My hat was completely drenched. We took everything I could, and we put it right in the laundry. And then we went back down and dealt with this mess. And now here's what I did, is that while it was uncovered, I'm looking down there, and I'm having to, I get a hose, bring it in there, and I start squirting all the junk out, and then I, because the float was covered with stuff, and so now the float was working, so it's coming up, and what I did is I reattached it with the lid off, I reattached my pump, the pipe, and then I'm taking water in there, and I'm pulling the thing up, and I'm getting it all out, and up, and out, and just kind of cleaning up the whole area here, and getting all the paper and stuff that was holding the floats down. So I get it all done, then I decide, okay, now I'm going to put it all back together. So I disconnect where it was connected again so I could put the lid back on, okay? And while I'm putting the lid back on, I'm down there and I'm going, you know, I can't see how the pump's supposed to fit. It has these 1, 2, 3 little things on the tripod. And so I'm looking down there, I'm going, oh, where are they? And I'm just, if I can get down a little bit more water out of there, I can see. And so I think, oh, I'm just going to pull up and get a little more water out. So I pull it up. It's still not connected. I pull it up and it starts pulling water out again. It shoots water up and it lands on top of me this time. And Crate looks at me and says, because I've said this to him all of his life, he looks to me and says, Dad, what on earth were you thinking? And I go, I wasn't thinking. I was trying to get it down, and literally I was drenched again. We were absolutely, I was drenched. Now this time it wasn't as raw, but it was rank. So I go back upstairs again, take off those pairs of pants, take off that shirt, take off everything. Now I'm taking off my shoes and the whole deal, and we put it in there and wash it away. And all I could think was the enemy singing me my birthday song. Crappy birthday to you. Crappy birthday to you. Crappy birthday, dear Philip. A crappy birthday to you. And I go, oh, man. So people go, how was your birthday? Well, it was kind of crappy. I started realizing, you know, then we got up and got in the shower. And I literally took a 30-minute shower, which is about average for me. But getting it all off and all off and all off. And all I could think about was, you know, sometimes I think what prayer is meant to do for us is to take the filth of the world and all the stuff that we're in. We connect with God and He begins to wash us in an amazing and powerful way. We connect with God in prayer. We get washed clean. We get right images, right thinking, right thoughts. What were you thinking? I was thinking the mind and will of God. As I connected in prayer, I am now connected with God so I can hear His thoughts, understand His mind, and start moving out in a different way. I can be a new man. Washed clean. I entitled this message, as you saw on a reader board, Prayer. What's faith got to do with it? What's faith got to do with it? In Hebrews 11:6 it says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we know that faith is important in salvation. To please Him, to come to God, we have to have faith to believe that He died on the cross and He paid the penalty for my sin. I have to believe that and accept that, and therefore I get saved. But what has faith got to do with prayer? I'm glad you asked me that. Let me give you a scripture on that. Matthew 21, verses 18 to 22. This is Jesus' last week on this earth. Well, I shouldn't say last week because this is His last week before He was raised from the dead. right before his crucifixion. It says not this. Now in the morning he was returning to the city. He was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered them and said unto them, "Assuredly I say to you, if," there's a conditional here, if, you must do this. If, number one, you have faith. If, number one, you have faith. And, number two, do not doubt. Have faith, don't doubt. Two conditionals here. Two conditionals. And if you read Mark, Mark's account of this is, do not doubt in your heart. Do not doubt in your guts. If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say or if you pray to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask, here's where we're getting to prayer here, ask in prayer, believing or having faith. When you ask in prayer, believing or having faith, you will receive it. It will be a done deal. He gives us a number of conditionals here. But he talks about moving mountains. Move a mountain. Do you have any mountains in your life? Do you have a financial mountain, a health mountain, a relationship mountain, a vice mountain, a besetting sin mountain, a miracle needed mountain? Do you have a mountain somewhere in your life? He wants to move it. He's saying it can move. It can move just as that mountain was moved. You can move what seems like a mountain in your life that you can't see the answer. You can move it if you believe. If you have faith and don't doubt. Have faith and don't doubt. Do you see mountains in your life as so big that nothing can change them, so you simply endure them? We get there. This mountain in my life is so big, I don't think anything could change it, so I'm going to learn how to endure it. I don't think that's where God wants us. And here's an observation. God removes mountains by faith in prayer. God removes mountains by faith in prayer. The word remove here means, is the Greek word, airo. It means to lift, to take up, or to take away. To, and it says here, to sell away or weigh anchor. That was in a song that talked about faith, that we weigh the anchor, we pick up the anchor, and we sail away, we get away from this thing, and it doesn't have to be with us all of our life. This besetting sin doesn't have to always be there. This issue, this problem, whatever it is, we can sail away from it. We can lift anchor. It can be removed. However, Jesus gives us three instructions here. Three instructions to this conditional. There are these conditionals that we must do. Number one, what did I say? We must have faith. Have faith. The Greek word there is pistis. It means persuasion, credence, or moral conviction. It means reliance upon Christ. It means truth itself. You see, faith involves trust. Christian, are you out there? Illustration. Christian? Speak to me. Oh, and Roman. Oh, Roman. Come on out here. I want to describe truth. Faith involves trust. All right? Show him. This is his father. This is the son. All right? That's your son. All right? What are you saying? Say it to him.
Come here, buddy. Jump.
Nice job. All right, bud, can you jump off that thing up there? Oh my goodness. All right, can you climb up there? Climb up there. All right, ready? Go. That was awesome. Can you climb higher? All right, hurry. Go on up there. Go on up there. All right. Go. You're good, man. You're a good climber. Wow. You say jump. Wow. You could be in the circus. Okay.
Go to the middle. Okay, ready? Jump!
right, give them a hand. Come here, buddy. Oh, good boy, good boy. All right, go see your daddy. Woo! All right. Now, actually, he can jump from the highest rung up there, but we thought for the mothers out there and grandmothers, we didn't want you we didn't want to have to resuscitate you. He loves to do that. Why? Because his daddy's there, and his daddy asked him to come and jump. His daddy asked, "Trust me, I will catch you." And did you see there was really no hesitation on each three spot? There was really no hesitation on it. It's interesting that if you look up the word, the second instruction I said, number one is to what? Have faith, have trust, to trust your daddy when he says jump, that you can jump. The second thing is to have no doubt, right? To not doubt. Two conditionals. Have faith, don't doubt. The word doubt. Diakrino, and it means this. It means to separate thoroughly, to withdraw from, to oppose, to discriminate. I love this last one. To hesitate. Ever feel like your faith hesitates? God says jump. How far is it? How far down is it? Let me calculate this. If you miss me, what will happen? I will splat. I mean, we calculate. We hesitate. We hesitate. There's an expression that says, he who hesitates is lost. He who hesitates is lost. What that phrase means is if one waits too long for the opportunity, it will vanish. If you wait too long for the opportunity will vanish. It will be gone. It will be gone from your life. And the devil proposes to get us to doubt, to hesitate, so that divine opportunity vanishes in your life. He just needs you to hesitate for a moment. At the check stand, the person says something, and you have an idea where you could just say something about the Lord, or invite him to something, or invite him to this, or just something real quick, but you kind of hesitate, and you think, well, I don't know, and she gives you the receipt back and says, thank you, Mr. Vance, this was blah, 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 and you get done, and you're going to go, I was going to say something, and then all of a sudden, I'm out the cart with the cart, and I realize, wow, my opportunity just vanished. Why? I hesitated. He said, hey, talk, say something. He put it on my heart. He said to do that. But I was thinking. I was rationalizing. What would she think? How will it go? Is this the right opportunity? Is this the right thing? How does it look? Where are we at? There's people in line. I mean, all of these things are going on, and it causes us to begin to hesitate as we naturally try to figure it all out, and then we're out putting our groceries in our car, and realize I just missed a divine opportunity. I hesitated when God said, jump! I love it, Roman. Jump, zing, jump, zing, jump, zing. The only time he hesitated, we were down here and we had him up higher. Roman was jumping and he'd get up there, climb up, and he'd just fly off the thing. As soon as he got to the top, he ran off. Then his mom up there, she was seeing this and she goes, Roman. She looks at Christian and goes, Christian, I think that's too high. I think that's too high for him. I don't think he can jump from there. We had Roman go back up again, and he had done this zing, 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 zing. He got up and he went, it's too high. He didn't want to jump. He didn't want to jump anymore. Now, I'm not trying to say that Courtney was wrong in trying to preserve the life of his son, of her son. Because sometimes Christian does some interesting things. I did interesting things with him. I remember. But I'm saying this. The enemy tries to get us to doubt, to hesitate. In our prayer, we hesitate. In our life, we hesitate. God said, if you want this mountain to be removed, this impossible thing to happen, you must, number one, have faith. Number two, you must not doubt. You can't hesitate. When I say jump, you say how high on the way up. And let me take care of the consequences, of the circumstances, of the issue. Roman didn't hesitate one bit. Remember, my first observation is God removes mountains by faith and prayer. My second observation is this. The devil retains mountains by doubt in prayer. He tries to get us to doubt. He tries to retain the mountain, keep it on you, cause you to hesitate, cause you to doubt, so you never take the jump, never take the leap, never weigh anchor, never sail off. Because we doubt it. We doubt it. We hesitate. We're going to, remember this one? I'm just going to wait and see and play it by ear. What does that mean? It's always so fun. I'm going to play it. My ears are going to play it? Now, what that means is this. I'm going to listen. I'm going to let my ears make a decision instead of my heart. Let my ears start making this decision. I'm going to play it by ear. See if it works out. See if I like it. See if it fits with me. See if it feels good. See if I'm there. And then I'll jump. And if I evaluate and calculate and look at all that and put a little nice pad down there, make sure everything's okay, then I'm going to take this leap of faith. I'm going to play it by ear. And God says, just jump. And I say, jump. I'm there. I am the safety net, Phil. God Almighty, is there a bigger net than that? You can't get a bigger net than God Himself. He is the net. Hesitation makes us respond to life circumstances instead of initiate in life circumstances. We hesitate. We're going to think how we're going to respond rather than just initiate. Initiate. God said it. So in this passage, Jesus says three things. We talked about the first two. Number one, you need to have faith. You need to have faith. Number two, you need to not doubt. Number three, he says, we need to ask in prayer. And then he says, believing you will receive. And I say it this way, ask in prayer, believing you'll be receiving. You need to ask in prayer, believing that you'll be receiving. Say that with me. I'm believing that I'll be receiving. What he's trying to say is this, that you change it to a past tense. It's done. Faith is, I see it done. It's there, it's done. I'm going to ask Him, and I believe He grants it to me, even though I don't see it, I'm believing I'll be receiving. I see it as past tense. Past tense. It's kind of like when we turn the water and remember, I'm believing it's going to be hot. I'm going to be receiving hot water. Another scripture. I want us to think about this whole concept of faith and doubt. Matthew 14. Now the fourth watch of the night is about Peter walking on the water. Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. I love this Peter. Isn't Peter great? He's just extreme on everything. I just love him. Reminds me of me. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, where did he come up with that idea? I saw it in a movie. I saw it down in the Village movie. An interesting projector because you didn't have any, but it was in a storybook form. That someone was walking on the water, so I wanted to do it too. It had never been done before. Nobody had ever done it. He comes up with a crazy idea. A crazy idea. I mean, and how did he have pizza that night or what? Got a crazy idea. Hey, I think it'd be cool to walk on water. You're doing it. Why can't I? And I wonder if maybe here's what happened. It wasn't just an idea. Jesus was doing it. And he says, if you're doing it, I want to do it. I want to do it. You know, dads, when you have those kids and they're younger than you and you're doing something, they want to do it just like you. If you take your carrot and dunk it in whatever that stuff is and eat it, they want to take a carrot and dunk it in there. They never thought about dunking it in there until you dunk it in there. They normally just would have eaten it by themselves, but you dunk, so now they want to dunk. And they won't be satisfied with the carrot by itself. They want to dunk because daddy dunks. I'm saying that here's Peter. Hey, Jesus is doing it. Hey, he's doing it. I want to do it. I want to do it. Bid me to come. But he realized he couldn't do it by himself, so he says, hey, ask me to come. And so he says, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water. Can you imagine? Hey, dude, I'm doing it. I mean, I can imagine looking at his disciples going, hey, ha ha, bro. I'm walking. I'm walking on the water. Dudes, I don't see you doing that. He's walking on the water. How did it, Jesus? But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He sees, he gets afraid, and he begins to sink, and he cries out, saying, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he caught him, and he said to him, Oh, you of little faith. Sat there, and he just chided him, and he shook his finger. You know how your mom or dad shakes their finger at you? Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now notice the two elements he talks about here. He looks at him and says, oh, you of little faith. Remember the two components I said we need? Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? And I think it's interesting. We have always looked at the phrase, oh, you of little faith, as a, oh, you of little faith. I don't believe that's what he was saying at all. I think he was saying this. Dude, you had faith. You had faith. You had a little faith. You had enough faith you asked me to come out here. We always chide him on the fact that he had little faith. I want to try to change that thought in your mind today. I don't think he was mad at him. Oh, you have little faith. He was saying, hey, you had faith. It was a little, but it was enough. The question was, why did you doubt? You had component one. You were just missing component two. You had faith, even though it's little. But you were doubting. That's the problem. You started to doubt. My observation here is this. Peter's little faith allowed him to walk on water. But Peter's doubt caused him to sink. I think it was his little faith that put him on the water. I can't imagine sitting in the boat going, hey, dude, I'm going to walk on the water because I got great faith. I think he's going, wow, there's an awesome God. I got this little faith. I got this crazy idea. He's doing it. What if we could do it? I don't know. It seems like an interesting thing. I got this little idea in the back of my head. I'm not just standing up going, declaring this, but I'm going, hey, I got a little bit of faith, and I wonder if I could step out and if God would meet me in that, if something would happen, and he did. The issue is, why did you doubt? You had enough faith to walk on the water. You only need a little. Why did you doubt? The doubt caused him to sink. You see, when Peter looked at circumstances with little faith, he walked above it. When he saw the circumstances with just faith, a little faith, he walked above it. When Peter looked at circumstances with doubt, he sank beneath it. When he looked at the circumstances with faith, he rose above it. When he looked at the same circumstances with doubt, he sunk below it. And here's my thought. The circumstances did not change. We read the thing, and he saw that the wind was boisterous. It already was windy. It didn't just, when he came there, Jesus walking all the time. It was already doing that. It was already windy. It was already blustery. It was already wavy. It was already happening. But his little faith, as he looked at Jesus, said, hey, I don't see all that. I see what you want me to do. The circumstances never changed. It's just what he focused on. It didn't change. The eyes through which he saw the circumstances did. He changed his glasses. He changed his glasses from walking in faith, these glasses, to walking in doubt. He starts looking through a different lens. It looks dark. It looks tough. It looks difficult. So he changed the way he was looking at the exact same situation. Exactly the same. But one way he was looking like this, and said, dude, I want to walk. The next time he was looking like this and said, dude, I'm going to sink. It looks dark. It looks despairing. Why? Over one thing. Doubt. He hesitated. He hesitates, is lost. He hesitated. He didn't start that way. But he hesitated. It was not his little faith, let me say this, it was not his little faith that caused him to sink, but his doubt that caused him to sink. Jesus asked, why did you doubt? He didn't ask, why did you have little faith? He didn't say, why did you have little faith? He just said, oh, you have little faith? Why did you doubt? That wasn't the question, why on the little faith? It was, why on the doubt? Folks, are we not there? Just have a little bit of faith. I don't know. God, I want you to do something. We keep thinking, I got to have this explosive faith. All he needs is a little bit of faith. You need to, I need to get rid of our doubt. So here's my question now. I need more faith. I need more faith. I need faith to rise. I need more faith. My question is this, do you? Do you need more faith? The disciples asked the same questions. Look at this. They asked the same thing. Luke chapter 17. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. We're walking here. Increase our faith. Make it greater. Make it better. Make it more. Make me awesome and dynamic in my faith. And look what he says. So Jesus said, all right, if you want more faith, number one, you got to pray more. Number two, you got to do. He now goes through 17 items on how to increase his faith. He doesn't address that question at all. Look what he says. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He didn't tell them to increase it. He told them how little they needed. He didn't tell them to increase it. He told them how little they needed. I have some mustard seed here, and I know none of you are going to be able to see this. But if you can see, here you can't see anything. Here they all are in here. I'll pass them around here. I shot them off right here, and you can pass them around. Look how small those seeds are. Pass them really fast. They're really small. They're really small. It's so small. But look what it produces. That's the bush. Now, it's different than our mustard bushes here, because I think they're a little bit smaller. Go to the Holy Land. This is what you're going to find. Smallest, but creates this thing that's large. It's huge. It's dynamic. You just have to plant it. You just have to use it. And you got to put a little water on it. Grow. I better wipe that off because somebody will get mad at me. Sorry, you guys. It's not raw sewage. Yeah, thank God. Literally, I kid you not, for 2 days, both Creighton and I could smell it. We go to eat something, go, I don't know. We were washed. Anyway. You don't need more faith. You need to use or plant what you got. What you need to do is remove your doubt. That's what you can do. All you need is a little bit. Oh, you have little faith is not a term of what's the matter with you. It's a term of endearment. Oh, you got a little faith? Hey! I'm in your camp, dude. I can do amazing stuff with a little bit of faith. I can change everything. I can move mountains. All I need is a little bit. All I need is a little bit, and look what I can do. Little faith is no problem to God. Just needs a mustard seed amount. What's the problem is doubt, because doubt leads to unbelief, which leads to no faith. Use your little faith. Don't doubt. Now, I want to do a little study here for you. I'm going to go kind of quickly, so you're going to have to just trust me. I'll give you the scriptures. You can look them up. There are five places, because I know some of you are going, well, what about ye of little faith? Are you sure? There's five times in the Bible where, oh, you of little faith is used, at least that I found, five that are used. And they all are talking to the disciples as a whole or individual disciples. I'm going to give them to you because you're going to find out something very interesting. I believe the first part of it was the encouragement, but he's going to say something secondly that will be what you need to get rid of. Two times in Matthew 6:30 and Luke 12:28, he says, "O you of little faith." He's talking about how I'm going to take care of all the flowers and the lilies and all of that stuff. He says, "O you of little faith, don't worry." "O you of little faith, don't worry." That isn't bad. The worry part is the bad part. In Matthew 8:26, "O you of little faith," big storm going on, "don't fear." In Matthew 16:8, "O you of little faith." They're having this big debate over the leaven and what Jesus meant to say and what he's trying to say, and they're all confused. And he says, "Don't reason." You're out here reasoning through all of this stuff and you've got it all wrong. And the next one is, "O you of little faith," with Peter walking on the water, "don't doubt." You see, I don't believe "O you of little faith" was the problem. It was the other part. It was all of those: worry, fear, reason, doubt, that robs your faith. Robs your little faith and puts it at no faith. Worry is the absence of faith. Fear is the absence of faith. Doubt is the absence of faith. Reason that talks us out of stuff is the absence of faith. Now look to me here on this reason one, because I want to... Are we supposed to just have blind faith and be stupid? No. We need reasoning, thinking Christians. But the danger with reason is if you let what seems naturally possible rob you of what is spiritually possible. Because by reason, you talk yourself out of it. You talk yourself out of it. You talk it out. You can't feed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes. You can't feed 5,000 people with one little kid's Happy Meal. You can't do that. You can't do that. Oh, you can't hear. But in the Spirit you can. And God did. The Spirit made it the natural. You see, reason sometimes becomes the robber of miracles. Reason becomes the robber of miracles. Oh, That doesn't work. Physics and this and that. You know, I don't think Peter was going, "Hey, I'm going to walk on water." Oh no, the buoyancy factor and that squared root by the hypothesis of pi. Of course, that doesn't all work out. There's a buoyancy coefficient and the friction deal in there. And then there's the wind at 60. Oh, that's no. Can't do it. He just said, "Hey, you're out there. Can I come?" "Yeah." "Hey!" What are you doubting? Where do you have a little faith and you go, "Oh God, give me more faith." And God's going, "Hey, can you get rid of the doubt?" What are you doubting? What are you doubting? What are you doubting? Quickly, as I bring this to a close. Just a thought. There was in Mark chapter 9, there's a man who brings his son to Jesus because he just doesn't know what to do. And his son has a mute spirit and he has seizures and he throws himself in the fire and he foams at the mouth and all these things happen and the man doesn't know what to do. He's just beside himself. "What do I do?" Takes him to Jesus. "Jesus, somehow do something for me." From his childhood, he's been like this. In verse 22, "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him, this spirit that's in him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us," he asked Jesus. And then Jesus says this: "If you can believe, if you can have just a little bit of faith, if you can have something small, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, I think we could all be there, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And I think Jesus was saying, "Hey, you have step one. You believe. You believe." And I think when he was crying out, "But I have this doubt. I have this unbelief. I have this doubt. I'm being honest. I'm doubting something here. I believe you can do it. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Help me with my doubt. Help me, Jesus. Help me. I got this financial burden, Lord. I believe you can help us out, but Lord, I'm doubting. Help me at this. Help me with my thinking. Help me with this besetting sin, Lord. I want out. I believe I can get out, but Lord, I'm doubting. I need your help. I need your help. I believe this man, as he came to Jesus, I believe. I have a little faith. But Jesus, help my doubt. Help my doubt. Help my doubt. And I believe Jesus helped his doubt and answered his prayer. Helped his doubt, took his doubt. Let me pull it out of his kid. Let me show you what I can do. And healed. Healed his son. Healed his son. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What does faith have to do with it? In prayer? Everything. Everything. What does faith have to do with prayer? Everything. Everything. Grab somebody's hand. Father, help us to see you weren't chiding your people when they had little faith. You were encouraging them. You were saying you have the faith part down. You don't need much. Just a mustard seed. Just a little bit. I can do amazing things with just a little teeny thing. But if you doubt, I can't do it. In my own town, I couldn't do it because they doubted. Will allow me to absorb your doubt. If you allow my strength, my character, my courage, my grace, my power, my anointing, if you allow me into your life, and I will absorb that doubt, and I will answer your prayer. Father, help us. Help us to let go of doubt. Help us to quit saying, I doubt it. Help us to believe. Lord, it's small. It's just a mustard seed. But help us to believe. To believe, Lord, that if we ask it in faith, believing, without doubt, you will give it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to leave an action step for you as you're sitting there. Got a couple minutes before 12. I want the orchestra or band here to play. I want you to take a few moments in prayer. In your prayer time, take a step of faith. Like Roman, jumping into the arms of his father. See yourself. What area does he want you to take a step in? Let me say it this way. Take a minute as we close and write down what you believe God wants you to step in. I said it that way for a reason, because the enemy wants you to step in something else. What does God want you to step in? Not the filth, not the crud, not the garbage. Maybe he wants you to step in faith. Maybe he wants you to step in love. Maybe he wants you to step in honor or fidelity. Or maybe he wants you to step in righteousness. Or take a step in purity. Or take a step in integrity. Or take a step in a relationship. Or take a step in prayer. Or take a step in believing for a miracle or hope. Or what mountain do you have that God wants to eradicate, but he wants you to take a step if we'll simply exercise our little faith? Go ahead, guys. Let the Lord speak to you.
still, there is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy, it is unfailing. His arms, a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. As I pour out of my heart these things, I remember you are faithful, God, forever. Is a river that flows from Calvary's tree, a fountain for the thirsty, your grace that washes over me. Let faith arise, let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart these things, I remember. Believe again, you are my refuge.
you need prayer for anything, right here. Faith, open your eyes. Come here and let them pray for you. If you need salvation, come here. They'll be praying for you. Let God eradicate your doubt. Enjoy your faith. Let it arise inside of you, even a little bit. Let Him deal with the doubt. And watch what God will do in you and for you. God bless you. Have a great week. I love you tons. God bless.